ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 28। Puranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Text number 19.
Na mai anashite bhungte na asnate snati matpara mai रुष्टे सुसंतस्ता भर्त्सिते यतवाक् भयात्। न मयि अनाशिते भुङ्क्ते नास्नाते स्नाति मत्परा मयि रुष्टे सुसंत्रस्ता भर्त्सिते यतवाग्भयात्। न मयि अनाशिते भुङ्क्ते नास्नाते स्नाति मत्परा मयि रुष्टे सुसंत्रस्ता भर्त्सिते यतवाग्भयात्। न मयि अनाशिते भुङ्क्ते नास्नाते स्नाति मत्परा मयि रुष्टे सुसंत्रस्ता भर्त्सिते यतवाग्भयात्।
प्लीज चांद।
मयि अनाशिते भुङ्क्ते नास्नाते स्नाति मत्परा मयि रुष्टे सुसंत्रस्ता भर्त्सिते यतवाग्भयात्। न मयि अनाशिते भुङ्क्ते नास्नाते स्नाति मत्परा रुष्टे सुसंत्रस्ता भर्त्सिते यतवाग्भयात्। न मयि अनाशिते भुङ्क्ते नास्नाते स्नाति मत्परा मयि रुष्टे सुसंत्रस्ता भर्त्सिते यतवाग्भयात्।
माताजी
भुङ्क्ते नास्नाते स्नाति मत्परा मयि रुष्टे सुसंत्रस्ता भर्त्सिते यत वाग्भयात्। नैमय्य नष्टे भुङ्क्ते नास्नाते स्नाति मत्परा मयि रुष्टे सुसंत्रस्ता भर्त्सिते यत वाग्भयात्। Never, Mayi, Anashite, had not eaten, Bhunkte, she would eat, never, Asnate, had not taken bath, Snati, she would take her bath, Matpara, always devoted to me, Mayi, when I, Rushte, was angry, Susantrasta, very much frightened, Bhartsite, when I chastised, Yatavak, fully controlled of words, Bhayat, out of fear. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. King Puranjana then began to think of his past dealings with his wife. He recalled that his wife would not take her dinner until he had finished his, that she would not take her bath until he had finished his, and that she was always very much attached to him, so much so that if he would sometimes become angry and chastise her, she would simply remain silent and tolerate his misbehavior. Purport. A wife is always supposed to be submissive to her husband. Submission, mild behavior, and subservience are qualities in a wife which make a husband very thoughtful of her. For family life, it is very good for a husband to be attached to his wife, but it is not very good for spiritual advancement. Thus, Krishna consciousness must be established in every home. If a husband and wife are very much attached to one another in Krishna consciousness, they will both benefit because Krishna is the center of their existence. Otherwise, if the husband is too much attached to his wife, he becomes a woman in his next life. The woman, being overly attached to her husband, becomes a man in the next life. Of course, it is an advantage for a woman to become a man, but it is not at all advantageous for the man to become a woman.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् Advaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Angum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Svarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachit Pasana Vrajavadhu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartho Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam Tatradarahna Paraha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna In this allegorical story of King Puranjana many important lessons are being conveyed by Srila Narad Muni about the situation of the conditioned soul in this material world. Specifically now, he is talking about the bondage that accrues from attachment in household life. Of course, the more general principle of attachment to anything other than Krishna is what is actually being talked about. When attachment is to something of this material world that is not seen in connection with Krishna, that is cause of bondage. This is a general principle. The jiva cannot exist in a vacuum. The jiva must become attached to something or someone. The natural constitutional position of the jiva is that it is attached to Krishna. But having forgotten Krishna, in this artificial situation, the jiva becomes bound in this material world by attachment to other things. And family life, especially, brings about more of this attachment. As King Rishabhdev instructs his sons in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Punsa Striya Mithuri Bhavametam Tayor Mitho Hridaya Granthim Ahuhu Ato Griha Kshetra Sutapta Vittair Janasya Mohoyam Aham Mameti. He cautions his sons that you should be very careful about becoming attached in this material world. The strongest attachment in this world is that which exists between a man and a woman. And that is based usually upon sexual attraction, mithuni bhavam etam. And because of that, tayor mitham, tayor mitho, hridaya granthi ahuho. So there is a strong bond, a knot of the heart, a knot in the heart that is very difficult to cut, that is established between the man and the woman. And as a result of this knot, many, many things happen. One requires a house, griha. Then one requires a source of livelihood, kshetra. Kshetra means land, but in the olden days, people lived off the land. So kshetra actually means source of livelihood. Suta, then there are children. Apta, then there are relatives. And vitta, that means wealth. So all these are required and they grow because of that original attachment between the man and the woman, the hridaya granthi. And then because of such increasing attachments as time goes by, one becomes situated in illusion. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. And the two illusions are aham and mama, I and mine. Of course, from a spiritual point of view, aham and mama is not illusion if it is centered on Krishna. Aham means I. So the sense of real ego is that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. I am eternal part and parcel of Krishna. So that aham is reality. But the aham where I think I am this material body, this conditioned consciousness, that is illusion. Similarly, mama. When I consider the things of this world to be mine, that is illusion. But when I think that Krishna is mine, then that is wanting. Somewhere it is explained that when we are in conditioned consciousness, we think in terms of the material objects and people of this world as belonging to us. And when we come into devotional service, then we think, I am Krishna's. So this thought that I am Krishna's is called Tadiya. I am connected to Krishna. I am Krishna's property. So in sadhana bhakti, one is expected to think like this. However, when one comes to the level of prema or prema bhakti, then one thinks Krishna is my property. Earlier in devotional service, one would think, I am Krishna's property, and in prema bhakti one begins to think Krishna is my property. This is called mamatva, mama. It's mine. Krishna is mine. So that kind of aham and mama is wanted. That is what we want to do. But being bound by material attachment and illusion, we think in terms of this body and everything that is connected to this body. Of course, family life doesn't have to be a source of bondage if one sees it in the right way, if one sees it in the light of Krishna consciousness. However, it is hard because the nature of material attachment and specifically the nature of attachment between man and woman, is hard to overcome. It is only a very high level of Krishna consciousness that can actually make us transcend such attachment. How strong such attachment is illustrated nicely in a story that comes to mind about a man called Dhanurdas. And this happened in the time of Srila Ramanujacharya. One time in Sri Rangam, the holy land of Lord Ranganath, there was a festival going on in which Lord Ranganath came out seated on Garuda for a procession. And as it happened, many, many devoted souls came out into the streets and were accompanying the Lord in his procession. Outside every house, people would come out and make offerings of devotion to the Lord. And the atmosphere was very, very surcharged with devotion. But there was one gentleman who was completely oblivious of all the devotional fervor that was around in the environment. And he was doing something very unusual. In his left hand, he was holding an umbrella, and he was shielding a very beautiful young lady from the glare of the sun. And with his right hand, he was waving a fan to keep her cool in that situation. And everyone around him was making jokes and making comments about him. But he was so absorbed in his service to this beautiful young lady that he didn't even know what was going on around him, or even if he knew, he did not care. And this went on for some time. Meanwhile, Srila Ramanujacharya had taken bath in the Kaveri River and he was returning, and he happened to notice this person who was across the road. He also noticed how everybody else was mocking him. Ramanujacharya felt great pity for him in his heart, and he wanted to bestow his mercy upon him. So he told his companion and disciple Dasharathi, "Please go and tell this gentleman to come and see me." So Dasharathi went and addressed this man. But even though he was standing in front of him and wanting to talk to him, addressing him, for a few moments this man did not even notice Dasharathi because he was so absorbed in that lady. Finally he noticed him and said, "My dear Brahmana, what can I do for you?" He said, "You know the famous Yatiraj, Ramanujacharya? He is standing across the road there and he wishes to speak with you." So this man came wondering, "What is it that the great Yatiraj wants of me?" He came and stood with folded hands in front of Ramanujacharya and said, "My dear, your holiness, what service can I do for you?" So Ramanujacharya said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Dhanurdas." So he said, "What is it? What nectar is it that you are obtaining, that you have become completely oblivious to the criticism and the mockery that people are doing of you here?" So then Dhanurdas replied, "Oh, your holiness, actually the eyes of this lady are so bewitching. Such is the beauty of this lady that I cannot think of anything else. And this is what is captivating my attention and my energy. I do not think that there is anything else in this world that can be more beautiful than these two eyes." So Ramanujacharya was struck by the statement of this man, that such is the degree of the attachment that he was willing to withstand the criticism of the entire society, and he did not care about it. And so deep was this attachment. So Ramanujacharya said that, "I will show you another pair of eyes that is more beautiful than these eyes." So Dhanurdas, who also happened to be a wrestler by profession, he said, "Not possible. He said, yes, you come to me this evening and I will show you. So then Dhanurdas came at the appointed time and Ramanujacharya walked with him into the temple of Sri Rangam, past all the gates. And they came at the time when the priest was offering arati to the Lord. And when the lamp which was being offered came in front of the lotus face of the Lord and illuminated the eyes, at that time, by the mercy of Ramanujacharya, Dhanurdas saw the beauty of those transcendental eyes. And immediately his heart became purified. And he developed love for Lord Ranganath, for the Supreme Lord. And his heart transformed completely. Ramanujacharya, of course, was very happy to see this transformation. And his companion was not actually his wife at that time, because Ramanuja had asked him that, who is this lady? Is she your wife? But he said, no, but she is something like my wife. And in any case, this lady was actually quite pious at heart. Somehow she was like this. But in her heart she was devoted, and upon seeing the transformation of her companion, her husband, whom she considered as her husband, she also transformed greatly. Ramanujacharya them instructed them to marry, and they became a very, very devoted couple. And all traces of material attachment and lust from their hearts completely vanished by the grace of Ramanujacharya and Lord Ranganath. They became such an ideal couple that Ramanujacharya used them as examples of detachment. Here Srila Prabhupada is mentioning how in family life there is a danger of attachment. But if one becomes Krishna conscious and sees family life from this point of view, then one can remain detached. So one time Ramanujacharya sensed that in some of his brahmachari disciples, they were thinking about grihasthas in an inappropriate way. They were thinking that grihasthas, they are in sense gratification and so on. And particularly they were thinking like this about Dhanurdas. So one time, Ramanujacharya at night quietly tore up some of the coffins of the brahmacharis that were hanging up on the clothesline to dry. And in the morning when the brahmacharis woke up, and they saw that their clothes had been made shorter and torn, they became very upset. And there was a lot of quarreling that went on amongst the brahmacharis. They were wanting to know who has done this. Meanwhile, Ramanujacharya called some of them and said, you know, I have this disciple, Dhanurdas. He is very attached materially. He is a very materially attached householder. But he just claims or poses himself to be a great devotee. So now, I would like you to expose his material attachment. Now you should go at such and such time to his house when his wife will be alone. And I want you to steal her jewels from her body. And then when he returns home, then you will see the extent of his attachment. So as per plan, Ramanujacharya engaged Dhanurdas in a discussion with himself in his own quarters. And Dhanurdas's wife was lying at home in bed. And the brahmachari, brahmanas, they went up to the window and they saw that she was taking rest. So they entered the room and they started removing the jewelry from her body. She was lying on one side. Actually, she was lying down remembering the Supreme Lord. But the brahmanas, the brahmacharis thought that she was asleep. When she realized that these devotees were taking away the jewelry, she realized that something is wrong. There must be extreme poverty in the ashram. The ashram must be undergoing some extreme crisis. Otherwise, why would these devotees come and steal the jewelry? So she quietly let them steal the jewelry. And when they stole the jewelry from one side, then she was thinking, let me turn to the other side so they can take the jewelry from this side. But when she turned, then the devotees who had come, the brahmacharis, became fearful and they ran away, thinking that she had awakened. Then Ramanujacharya said, he had already told them, that now you wait outside and see what happens. Meanwhile, Ramanujacharya dismissed Dhanurdas and said, now it is getting late, you please go back to your home. So he went back, and when he came, he saw that his wife was looking very strange. So he asked, what is the meaning of this? You have your jewelry only on one side of the body and not on the other side. So then she explained what had happened. And she said that I wanted to actually give everything, but when I turned, then they thought I had awakened and they ran away. So Dhanurdas, he began to reprimand his wife. He said, you are such a foolish lady. You should have just stayed quiet. You shifted, and therefore they became afraid and ran away. Here was an opportunity for us to serve our guru. You are so attached to your personal opulences and your jewelry. So he began to reprimand his wife. And his wife did not think, oh, he is unjustly criticizing me. She said, yes, you are right. I am so sorry. I made such a big mistake. And then the brahmacharis, the brahmanas, they were really surprised. And when they went back to Ramanujacharya, he asked them, so, did you see the extent of this Dhanurdas's attachment? So then they were very embarrassed and very ashamed. And then they declared, actually, this is what we saw. So then Ramanujacharya asked them, so, who is more detached? The brahmacharis who were upset because their coffins were torn, or this householder who is living there in household life but is too detached? And unanimously they all declared that he is more detached than us. So this is the transformation, the miraculous transformation that takes place when one comes to Krishna consciousness. In ordinary life, the attachment between man and woman can be very, very strong. But if the attachment of both the husband and the wife is transferred to Krishna, then everything becomes wonderful. And then the Grihastha life can also become Goloka Vrindavan, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned. Jedine Grihete Bhajana Dekhi, Grihete Goloka Bhai. He says, when I come back to the home and see the chanting of the holy names of the Lord in my house, then my house actually I see Goloka Vrindavan. So this is the viewpoint of Krishna consciousness. The situation of ashrams is an external thing, part of the culture of dharma, which is essential to maintain order and stability in society and to facilitate the attainment of pure love of God, which is Krishna consciousness. So these roles that are given in the Dharma Shastra, the dharmic roles of man and woman, of husband and wife, of father and mother, of son and daughter, and so many other roles that we are expected to play according to Varnashrama Dharma, these must be also followed. In the name of being Krishna conscious, we should not dispense with these things and think that they are of no consequence. It is not like that. On the other hand, we should also not become so much attached to just dharmic roles that we forget the purpose for which these roles have been given by the Lord to us in the first place. So the challenge in the society, and especially in a Krishna conscious society like ours, is to strike the proper balance. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mother Devahuti, the mother of Lord Kapila, she speaks one nice and important verse. She says, Nehayat karma dharmaya na vairagya upakalpate na tirthakada sevayai jivan napi mritohi saha. She says, that if somebody doesn't perform religious activities or religious rituals, then all his activities are useless and he is like a person who is dead even though living. If a person is performing religious rituals but is not developing some detachment from this world, then he also is like a person who is dead even though he is living. If a person has developed some detachment and is renounced from this world, but he doesn't have attachment to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, who is called Tirthapada, at whose lotus feet all the holy places reside, then such a renunciant is also as good as dead, even though he is living. In other words, what Mother Devahuti is saying is that Krishna consciousness or attachment to serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord is the ultimate perfection of life. It is in fact life itself. And if one is not a devotee of the Lord, then one is as good as dead, even though apparently physically living. So in this verse, Mother Devahuti talks about three things. She talks about dharma, ordinary dharma as given in the Dharma Shastras. Then she talks about renunciation or detachment. And the third thing, she is talking about bhakti or Krishna consciousness. So there is a relationship between these three. For ordinary people, this is a sequence. One follows the dharma, one follows the rules and regulations of varnashram dharma, one performs the roles that one is supposed to do in varnashrama dharma. The idea is that gradually one should become detached by following these rules and regulations. And also with increasing detachment, one should also get attachment to Krishna and come to the point of Krishna consciousness. So this is the essence of dharma and the essence of renunciation. So by following dharma and following renunciation, if you don't get Krishna consciousness, what is the use? On the other hand, if we artificially attempt to just become pure devotees overnight, because it is a transcendental process, and we ignore the reality of our conditioned existence, and also the fact that we are living in a material world, which is full of attractions and temptations, and if we are not factually situated on a very spiritual platform, by ignoring the dharmic roles that we are expected to play, we could land ourselves in a perilous position. So therefore, we must balance these things. We must neither go to one extreme and say that, well, we must simply follow these rules and regulations. This is the role of the husband, this is the role of the wife, and we must act in this way. And if we don't give sufficient attention to bhakti, then we will not be able to sustain those roles even. Dharma even cannot sustain without its essence. Just as the body cannot sustain without its essence, that is the soul, similarly dharma cannot sustain without its essence, which is bhakti. So even in ordinary varnashrama dharma activities, there is always an element of bhakti. There are elements, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, which are direct bhakti, and there are elements which are gauna bhakti, secondary elements of bhakti, which may not be directly linked to Krishna, but they are meant to eventually bring us to that platform. So it is very important that we follow this blend and go ahead nicely. In the Nectar of Devotion, of course, Srila Prabhupada also mentions, it is very difficult, practically impossible, to institute all the rules and regulations and the systems of Varnashrama Dharma in this modern day, in Kali Yuga. We are seeing the degradation of Kali with every passing day, not just decade. With every passing day, the degradation is increasing rapidly. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, the only solution is to chant Hare Krishna. The only solution is to surrender to Krishna and become devotees. And he also explains that, yes, we need to take support of the other Varnashrama Dharma concepts and the systems in order to facilitate our speedy and sustained progress on the path of devotional service. Otherwise, the material attachment will become very, very strong and overwhelming. And we see that even when one comes to Krishna consciousness, unless one is very advanced, one may succumb. And we see many instances in our movement also where devotees may succumb to the attraction of the opposite sex, even though one may be a practicing devotee. So this proves that we must also have proper Varnashrama Dharma instituted within our society so that there is morality that is preserved, there is order that is preserved, so that we can go ahead nicely in our Krishna consciousness. There is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by none other than Hanuman himself, the great devotee of Lord Ramachandra.
Martyavatarastvihamartyashikshanam Raksho vadhayaiva na kevalam vipo Kutonyathasya dramatasva atmanah Sita kritani vyasana nishvarasya.
Hanuman says, Martyavatarah, that the Supreme Lord has incarnated in this Martyaloka. Martyaloka means that abode where everyone is destined to die. Because there is mrityu or death in this world, it is called Martyaloka. So the Lord has incarnated into this Martyaloka. Martyavatarah. And what could be the purpose of his coming here? Since Hanuman is a devotee of Lord Ram, he is specifically referring to Lord Ram. So he says, Na kevalam, rakshavadhaiva na kevalam vibho. Vibhu, or the Almighty, the Supreme Lord, Lord Ramachandra, did not advent into this Martyaloka simply for the sake of killing Ravana, the Rakshasa Ravana. So then why did he come? Martya Shikshanam. He came here to give good instruction to the conditioned souls of this material world who are bound for death. So he came for Martya Shikshanam. So what kind of Shiksha has he come to give? He has come to give the Shiksha that attachment between man and woman in this world can cause misery. Sita kritani vyasanani Ishvarasya. So even though he is Ishvara, he is a Supreme Lord, but he is demonstrating that the attachment between man and woman in this world can lead to vyasanani or misery. Kutaha anyatha. What other explanation can be there? Because ultimately, Ramatahasva Atmanaha, the Supreme Lord is Atmaram, he is self-sufficient, he is happy within himself, he has no cause for lamentation under any circumstances. So why is it that Lord Ram lamented when Sita Devi was kidnapped and taken away from him? He lamented like an ordinary person, an ordinary husband would, when his wife is kidnapped. So being completely satisfied with himself spiritually, what was the cause of such lamentation? So Hanuman says, the cause of Lord Ram's lamentation when Sita Devi was kidnapped was that he wanted to teach the conditioned souls of this material world the misery that accrues out of attachment between man and woman. And the Supreme Lord is teaching us this by his own example. And who is stating this? None other than Hanuman, the great devotee of Lord Ram. So, Prabhupada also used to say that man by himself is good, woman by herself is good, but man and woman come together, not good. When there is material attachment, then that causes complications, it causes problems, it causes bondage to this world. But if man and woman come together in a spirit of Krishna consciousness, then one can remain detached and devoted and make one's life successful. In this spirit, the householder, the man, will not see his wife as an object of enjoyment or an object of exploitation. He will understand that this is not my wife. From an everyday point of view, yes, from a social point of view, from a responsibility point of view, he has to think like that. But from a spiritual point of view in his mind, he should understand that this is not my wife, she is not my property, she is Krishna's property. And in this way, he will not see her as an object of exploitation, and therefore he will not become attached to her materially. Similarly, the wife should also understand that my husband is also Lord Krishna's property. And we are both meant to be together to serve Krishna. And even the children or the wealth or whatever that may be there in family life is actually given by Krishna. It is also Krishna's property. And we must use them in the service of Lord Krishna. So this is ideal family life. So Srila Prabhupada is cautioning here against the dangers of attachment. At the same time, he is mentioning that there are certain roles that must be followed by both the man and the woman in family life. These traditional roles are hardly being followed nowadays. In fact, to speak for the revival of traditional family culture is not a very politically correct thing to do nowadays. In fact, we would be much criticized when we talk about how the traditional family cultures must be revived. And we can see the proof that this Varnashrama Dharma transcends ordinary religious faith, because the moment you go to any country, whatever be its religious or cultural background, the moment you mention traditional family life, everyone will understand what you mean. You may go to a Muslim country, you may go to a Christian country, you may go to a Hindu country, or you may go to any country. But the moment you mention traditional family life, immediately everyone understands that there are certain values, certain lifestyles, certain practices that are automatically implied. It is a natural thing that will come to everybody's mind. Some picture will come to mind the moment you say traditional family life. So these are the values that we are talking about that are universal. It is not necessarily only to one particular religious faith, one class of people. It cuts across all sections of humanity. Because ultimately this system has been established by the Supreme Lord himself. He has established these varnas. He has established these ashramas. So we must respect that. And we must try to follow that in a spirit of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the attachment will lead us, we do not know where. And at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that if the husband is too attached to the wife, then he becomes a woman in the next life. If the wife is too attached to the husband, she becomes a man in the next life. So we neither want to become a woman nor a man in the next life. We want to go back to Krishna's abode. We want to go back to the spiritual world. we don't want to take birth again in this world. So we want to be attached only to Krishna and to Krishna's pure devotees. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajatyam te kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya satatat bhava bhavitaha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains that according to one's consciousness or one's conceptions at the time of death, one gets the next destination in the next life. So if one thinks of Krishna by cultivating Krishna consciousness throughout one's life, then one will be able to remember Krishna or think of Krishna, and thus one will not be obliged to take birth again in this material world. Rather, one will go back to Krishna's abode. Otherwise, there is always a risk of becoming attached and then taking birth again. What to speak of ordinary devotees? What to speak of karmis and what to speak of ordinary devotees? Even someone like King Bharat, who was on the platform of Bhava. Prabhupada mentions this in one place. King Bharat was on the platform of Bhava Bhakti, such an elevated platform. Even he became attached, not to a woman. He had already given up all these things at a young age. He had left his beautiful queens, his sons, his kingdom, his beloved subjects, his wealth, everything. And what did he become attached to? A deer. And that little thing actually made him take birth again. It distracted him from his spiritual practices. And he was forced to take birth again as a deer. And then he had to take another birth as a human being before he could perfect his life. So this goes to show how delicate our position is in this world. Even as practicing devotees, we have to be always very vigilant and alert so that we do not somehow slip and become attached to anything apart from Krishna. Whether one is a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, whatever one may be, the alertness and the vigilance is what is necessary. As the saying goes, vigilance is the price we have to pay for freedom. So if we want to be free from the bondage of material existence, even as we perform our sadhana bhakti, we must become very vigilant so that we can become free, truly free, and then go back to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Are there any comments, Maharaj? Any of the Maharaj's Prabhus want to make any comments or any questions? Yes, Mataji.
Maharaj, for the balance between material life,
can you please
the
repeat
balance
that?
Between family life, Krishna conscious household life, and transcendental devotional service, who will decide what is that balance? It's individual. So who will decide what is that balance, and how do we decide what is the balance?
The question is that who will decide what is the balance between the varnashrama and the bhakti? Yes, this is the challenge that our society faces collectively and individually. How to balance the two? Of course, Krishna has given us a general formula for that in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in his Uddhava Gita. And the formula is that we must follow the duties of Varnashrama to the degree that one is not attached to the hearing of the glories of the Lord. So to the extent that we have stronger and stronger attachment to hearing about Krishna, to serving Krishna, in other words, to the extent that we have developed love for God, to that extent we are no longer obliged to follow the rules and regulations of Varnashrama. But generally speaking, even an advanced devotee would follow for the sake of setting an example to the rest of the society. So the point is, the balance has to be judged according to one's level of advancement in Krishna consciousness. And who makes that judgment? That is a difficult question. The individual must be honest enough to understand his or her own level of spiritual advancement and must exercise a due caution. Simultaneously, one's spiritual master always knows, and the community of Vaishnavas, and especially one's superiors in the community of Vaishnavas, are also there to guide us. So these are all different general guidelines that we can have. But in general, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we should accept from the Varnashrama Dharma those rules and regulations that are beneficial and favorable for advancement in Krishna consciousness. This is the guiding principle. And these principles have to be applied with our good judgment. Right? Does it answer your question?
Yes, it does. It's just that if we attach, we don't even know we are attached. And we think that we are advanced. If we are attached, but we actually don't realize we are attached. We think we are advanced because we seem to be following Shravanam Kirtanam and we don't actually realize that we are attached.
Yes, if we are attached but we think we are advanced, then that is a difficult situation. So the devotee is therefore very humble. Therefore the devotee always plays safe. The devotee will always like to sufficiently follow Varnashrama Dharma and not imagine that he or she is advanced enough to give up rules and regulations. So one must actually nicely follow, and that culture will be very, very favorable for the growth of our bhakti. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Yanagama.
On this issue, initially, when we began the Krishna consciousness movement, if one party of the marriage was favorable and another was not, we would encourage that person to become a member of the temple, leave the family, and so forth. And I was just reviewing that as this question was asked, and I was thinking, the reason that was possible is because in the temples we had full engagement for everyone who came forward. We had full engagements, and therefore we were able to do that, and the person could assume, even prematurely, an advanced position in bhakti yoga, being fully engaged 24 hours. But then somehow maya crept in, or we advanced beyond our capability, or the mercy of Srila Prabhupada was not there so much after he departed. And there were different problems. So we moved back, you might say. We retreated to a more vanashram position. And that was also beneficial. That also works. A little more cautious our advancement is.
Right. Thank you very much. Yes, that's an important point. Our movement has kind of changed its focus in terms of temple life. Now most of the devotees are staying outside. Earlier they would stay within the temples. Also, an important point is that bhakti, especially for new devotees, cannot sustain in the absence of Varnashrama Dharma. It cannot endure. Because one cannot artificially assume a higher level of absorption in Krishna consciousness than one's actual abhikar, or one's eligibility. So therefore, they need to strike that balance and to make steady progress in that way.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the comment. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the nice class.
Thank you.
Yesterday I was reading a fifth canto Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes, Bharat Maharaj, he was ruling the country and he was making sure that all the varnas, they are following their respective occupational duties. And then also Srila Prabhupada said that ISKCON is meant for training people into Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. So in the context of establishing Varnashram system, unless there are Kshatriyas, how it is possible? How ISKCON can establish Varnashram system?
Your question is that Prabhupada said it is Brahminical culture, you want Brahmanas, and at the same time he also wanted to establish Varnashrama Dharma. So how is establishment of Varnashram Dharma possible if you don't have Kshatriyas?
Yeah.
But Prabhupada didn't say that we shouldn't have Kshatriyas. On the contrary, he said but he said the beginning of reinstituting Varnashrama Dharma is it must begin from the top. Unless you have Brahmanas who are ideal, you cannot have Kshatriyas who are ideal. Because the Kshatriyas have to be trained by the Brahmanas. And they have to be guided by the Brahmanas. So when Prabhupada says that we're talking of a Brahminical culture or we're talking of making Brahmanas, that was not the end of it. It was the beginning. So Prabhupada desired that once the Brahmanas or the head is in place in the social body, then the arms can be strengthened, the belly can become also full properly, the legs will function nicely. So it definitely Prabhupada did want also Kshatriyas to be there and all the other Varnas also. But the emphasis in the